KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 7:06, it's mostly clear and 39 degrees. We look forward to be partly cloudy today with a high of 79. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. The news is brought to you by your independent insurance agents in Greenfield. See Marsha, Joni, Lori, or Susan at the Adair County Insurance Agency on the square in Greenfield. Members of the Griswold School Board met during a special session Monday evening and approved separate mask mandates for inside the school and during activities. Superintendent Dave Hendricks said the new rules from the state changed his perspective on the issue.
I was not in favor of a mask mandate when we first started school, not because I didn't think there was value with slowing the spread down, but rather from a school standpoint, it did nothing for us in terms of exposure and quarantining kids. So to be as non-political and objective as possible, that's changed.
And he said the need to implement the change to the Griswold school policy became evident when they learned two positive cases of COVID-19 in the Griswold school district last week.
One we were notified about noon on Friday, which was a student. One after school on Friday, which was a staff member. That, in a nutshell, impacted 35 students and two staff. Some of those kids were already exposed previously due to outside exposure, but this just gives you an example that one exposure took out 37 people. If we had the mask mandate, in theory, if it was worn consistently and properly, our number of people impacted would potentially be zero.
Henrich said the question is, do we want to keep our school open and do we want to provide our kids as many opportunities as possible?
So what I mean by that is if we have a huge number, actually not true, if we have more cases, then more kids are out. At some point, we have to make a decision, do we keep the school open or not? And if you choose not to keep the school open, by rule, all activities are shut down. So to me, it's not a political question of is COVID real or not real and do the mask work or not work. It comes down to do we want to keep our school open.
After considerable discussion, Board Member Ryan Asklin made a motion to require all students, staff, and visitors to wear CDC-approved face coverings while inside school facilities during the school hours of 7:45 to 3:30 p.m. during school days when social distancing is not possible, extending to school transportation regardless of the time of day or if the school is in session, including required mask breaks for a minimum of 5 minutes, not to exceed 10 minutes each hour, while also allowing students 1 week or until October 14th to determine their virtual learning status. Now, there will be masks available. There are some 300 to 500 masks currently available at the district, and they're expecting another shipment today. The mask mandate goes into effect on Wednesday, tomorrow, October 7th, and will continue through the end of the semester to be revisited at the December board meeting. The motion was seconded and approved by a vote of 6-1 with Scott Peterson the lone nay vote. The board then continued with discussion on a mask mandate with regard to school-related activities for participating students and staff. Board member Scott Hansen motioned to require masks for activities, including both practices and competitions, when social distancing is not possible. There is an exception, however, for football due to mouth guard requirements. That portion of the mask mandate is also effective on Wednesday, October 7th, and continuing through the end of the semester. It'll be revisited again during the December board meeting. It was agreed also the district will follow the conference activity guidelines for spectators with regard to sports. The motion passed unanimously. In other business, the Griswold School Board approved a virtual format for parent-teacher conferences via Google Meet during the same time as previously scheduled, but the meetings will be booked so that sessions do not overlap or multiple parents are not conferencing at the same time. Parents who absolutely must have a face-to-face conference with the teacher should contact the district and work out a time to do so. Council Bluffs Police said late Monday evening that an accident Monday afternoon resulted in the death of a man and injuries to a woman, both of whom are from Tennessee. Officers were called to the area of I-29 southbound at the 9th Avenue exit in Council Bluffs at around 3 p.m. Monday. A witness told police there was a group of three motorcycles traveling southbound on I-29 in a row in the inside lane when a light blue vehicle came from I-480 east onto I-29 south and attempted to merge to the inside lane. The suspect vehicle only let the first motorcycle pass and then merged over, striking the second motorcycle, causing it to be pushed into the median and striking the guardrail. The adult male driver of the motorcycle was transported to Nebraska Medicine, where he was pronounced dead from his injuries. The adult female also was transported to Nebraska Medicine, were non-life-threatening injuries. No names have been released at this time. The suspect's vehicle was a small light blue vehicle that fled the area. If you have any information or saw the accident and have information that you can use for the police department, they would sure like to talk to you. Talk to the traffic unit at 712-328-4948. The Iowa State Patrol says a central Iowa man died Monday when the motorcycle he was riding collided with a vehicle that had turned in front of him. 42-year-old Joshua Wayne Levi Hollingsworth of Indianola died at the scene of the crash in Warren County at around 2:37 p.m. Monday. Authorities said Hollingsworth was eastbound on Highway 92 at the intersection with County Road R-57 when 72-year-old Dennis Allen Walker of Red Oak failed to yield the right-of-way. Walker's 1973 Chevy Custom pickup turned from westbound to southbound in front of the Harley-Davidson motorcycle, causing the cycle to strike the pickup on the right front side. Indianola Fire and EMS assisted the State Patrol. Taking a look at our funeral announcements this morning here on KJAN, Veronica Catherine Figenbutz, age 97, of Elliott, died Saturday at the Montgomery County Memorial Hospital in Red Oak. A massive Christian burial for Veronica Figenbutz will be held on Wednesday at 11 a.m. at Our Lady of Grace Catholic Church in Griswold. Dune Funeral Home in Griswold has the arrangements. Jeffrey Bradley, age 51, of Manila, died September 17th at his home. Funeral services for Jeffrey Bradley will be held on Thursday at 7 p.m. at the OD Funeral Home in Manila. Pam Straka, age 63, of Atlantic, died Friday at Iowa Methodist in Des Moines. Funeral services for Pam Straka will be this Friday at 10:30 at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Jay Becker, age 61, of Yakima, Washington, died July the 9th in Irvine, California. A celebration of life graveside service for Jay Becker will be this Saturday at 11:30 at the Atlantic Cemetery. Roland Funeral Home of Atlantic has arrangements. Dennis Eilenstein, age 69, of Kansas and formerly at the Walnut and Avoca areas, died August 22nd. A gathering for Dennis Eilenstein will be held at the Oaklawn Cemetery on Saturday at 11:30 with services at noon. Rochelle Bruns, age 51, of Elkhorn, died Thursday at the Cass County Hospital. A celebration of life for Rochelle Bruns will be this Saturday at 1 o'clock at the Exira EHK Spartan Football Field in Exira. Kessler Funeral Home of Exira has arrangements. Scott Backhouse, age 41, of Georgia and formerly of Manila, died August 28th in Georgia. A memorial visitation for Scott Backhouse will be held on Saturday from 4 until 7 p.m. at the Memorial Hall in Manila. OD Funeral Home in Manila has arrangements. Paul K. Hansen, age 94, of Elkhorn, died October 1st in Harlan. Memorial services for Paul Hansen will be held at a later date when the family can gather and circumstances will allow. OD Funeral Home of Kimbleton has arrangements. Barbara Humphrey, age 85, of Atlantic, died Sunday at her home. A private family graveside service for Barbara Humphrey will be in the Atlantic Cemetery. A celebration of life will be held at a later date. Roland Funeral Service of Atlantic has arrangements. And Mark Kringle, age 67, of Atlantic, died Sunday at the Cass County Hospital. Per his wishes and because of present health guidelines, private services for Mark Kringle will be held at a later date. Roland Funeral Home of Atlantic has the arrangements. The news was brought to you by your independent insurance agents. In Oakland, your independent insurance agents are Craig, Marcia, and Mary at the Hummel Agency. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.